Steve and Henry here. Welcome back. So, we're deep into the discussion of influence-wrecking habits. And we always start these presentations off with one influence-wrecking habit is not a walk with God. You know, and we talk about the seven connections walking with God. So, we talked before about how prayer and influence come together. And we've talked about how marriage, you know, just the opportunity to have influence of you, influence your wife spiritually and your children, that that's a practice ground, or spouse, that's a practice ground for influence. How do you feel a walk with God in, let's jump to connection six. So connection three is family. Connection four is your small group of friends. Connection five is within your church, spiritual community, and worship and such. What about the kingdom? Is there something about influence and the kingdom and a spiritual walk that come to your mind?
Yeah. A walk is with God, and then the spheres of people that you hang out with.
Right.
You know, marriage, family, small groups or friends, church. Kingdom is that larger group. So in some ways, at Christian Leaders Institute, you're part of a kingdom thing because
right.
It's not just people from your church.
Right.
I'm not in your church. You're not in there, you know. We're in different churches, and yet we're coming together and sharing life together and encouragement together. So getting influence from something broader than your small circle is definitely a good way to then have something to share with others. I mean, we learn
right.
so much from what God is doing in the church all over the world.
Right.
That's, you know, an advantage that we have here at
right.
Christian Leaders Institute. And you go online, you can, you know,
you even
talk,
meet people
yeah.
in the other part of Africa on
right.
a network, for instance.
Right.
So you really do have that kingdom
yes.
cross-pollinization,
right.
That walk with God as it applies to different cultures.
So not only can you be influenced by that kingdom walk, but now you can be an influencer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can be an influence to someone on the other side of the world because
that's,
it's, you know, we can talk to each other globally now.
That's pretty cool. Well, let's keep going. So here's a really bad habit for being an influencer.
Yeah.
Using guilt trips to get your way. Proverbs 10, verse 23, a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So guilt trips. Why would that hurt? In some of the literature, even the Christian literature was really interesting and talked about in Christian literature, like when you preach, that you use duty language.
Yeah.
That you just make people just like go after.
Right.
What's duty language?
Yeah.
How would you define duty language?
You know, God loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. And we should respond by loving others. So the word should. You should do this. Not you get to do this.
Right.
You
have the opportunity to do
it. It is an opportunity, or what a blessing it is, which is a positive thing.
Yeah.
No, it's should. You're not doing it right now, and you should.
Right.
So it's a hint. It's got that guilt in it. And in fact, it's those kinds of words, is those words why the word preaching is often negative.
Right.
You know,
he's preaching at me today.
Don't preach to me.
Right.
You know, and it's that shame, guilt, I'm trying to motivate you by making you feel good and what you're not doing, rather than turning it into a positive that
right.
you get to do this. This is an opportunity. And we do it as parents, too. We, you know, we see our kids and we want them to do something.
Clean your room.
Yeah.
You should clean your room.
Yes, you should, because
right.
and some of it is just laziness. We haven't thought of what is the positive reason for cleaning the room?
Right.
Why should he do that?
Right.
You know, why should I go to church?
Right.
Well, there's some really good reasons why. There's some great benefits.
Right.
But instead of sitting down and thinking about those, that's easier to make them feel guilty.
Well, and that's that whole concept of a man of understanding delights in wisdom. Because it takes more
right.
effort
right.
to actually see what's going on.
Yes.
It's easier just to say, you should this, you should
yes,
that.
Yes.
Why aren't you doing that? I mean, you can, you know, there's different ways of the Dewey language. You should do this, you should do that. Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing that? Why did you do that? You know, have
what were you thinking when you did
what,
that?
Yeah, what were you thinking? Yeah. You know, like, what is the Christian church thinking about when it's, you know, you can see sermons where it's very easy to, like, make it into a guilt trip.
Yeah. Right, and I was, cause, you know, growing up in the church, I was confused because the minister on the one hand would say, grace is free. There's nothing
right.
that you do.
Right.
Okay, that was the one message.
Right.
The other message was all the stuff that we should do if we were Christians.
Right.
And I was always like, as a kid, I'm like, hold it. I thought it was free. Is it free or isn't it free? Because on
right.
the one hand, you're saying it's free. On the other hand, you're telling me all these things I should do.
Right.
And what if I don't?
Right.
Am I not a Christian then?
Right.
It took me a long time to realize that, you know, grace is free, and my response to that is doing good things because I want to.
Right.
God, I've been blessed so much, I want to share it with others. More of a positive reason for doing things
right.
than this, I owe God, and so I better do it.
Right. I think this area, I know Bruce Ballast in our preaching professor around here in blogs talking about this. I think there's something that could need a coach for if you're preaching a lot.
I think when you are young, or
when you're trying to figure this out, there are things that you just fall into.
I notice that whenever I have a young person get up and give a a short little message.
Right.
You know, like a 5-minute message.
Yeah.
Or when we, remember we did the planner and we had a verse
right.
and people had to write one application.
Mm-hmm.
Every new person that started to do that, they'd always use the should language. They'd
right.
always get in this preaching mode. They'd read right. a verse and say, okay, we should now do this because
right.
this verse says we should be kind to, you know,
right.
it'll say something. And then we right away, that's the default setting, should. And God has blessed us so much, why don't we do this? And rather than, I would talk to a person and say, you know, instead of, just slip into, instead of saying should, it's an opportunity.
Yeah. Like, what opportunities do we have to take our walk to the next level?
Yeah. We get to take our, you know, we get to have a relationship
yeah.
with the God of the universe. Now, you're not doing it right now. Well, what a opportunity in front of you.
Yeah.
If you don't have a walk with God, wow, you have this wonderful thing in front of you. How
right.
are we going to do this? You know? Now, let's talk about some habits.
Now, a while ago, we were talking about, like, you know, how we did seminars and very few people could get that walk with God. Now, if you go back to that, we could have gone this way. So, you are a Christian, and a Christian has a relationship with God, and you now know about reading the Bible and praying every day, and you know you should do it, and you know that you don't do it, and why don't you do it?
Right.
Okay, now,
yeah.
it's sort of like,
right.
whoa,
right.
we're not, that doesn't feel respectful.
Right. No.
And from an influence standpoint, you feel like you're demeaning
yes,
me to
yes,
go like that.
Yes. This is what you lack. Instead of saying, you know, you've never had ice cream before?
Wow. Right.
You have an incredible treat in front of you.
Right.
You've never had a consistent walk with God? Wow.
Right.
You have an incredible treat. I can't hardly
yeah, yeah.
wait to show you what this is and watch you experience this. See, that's...
Oh. I want that.
Yeah.
And it is more respectful. And also, it is hard to have a walk with God, but it's hard to change.
Yes.
And it's hard to, like, walk in the way of success in anything we do.
Right, right.
Being abusive. Proverbs 3:31, do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways.
Yeah.
I guess we're just going to say enough said.
Yeah. Abusive is where you're trying to have influence by power.
Right.
Or your authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that only works as long as you're there and your authority is there and it doesn't get reproduced.
Right.
And it doesn't expand. So if you're going to run a church with power, there's only so many people that you can have power over.
Right. Well, and the thing that's interesting about this too is positions of authority are sacred trusts.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many news stories of ministers who, pastors who were right. senior pastors and so forth, and then right. They basically didn't realize how their power was giving them opportunity for, like, sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, this is,
right.
you know, we can say enough said, but really there's a lot to say about
right.
this.
Right.
And when you have those kind of opportunities,
right.
is to keep that humble yeah. walk.
And that's, you know, a good point that, you know, the whole thing of this class here is about influence.
Right.
And you know, be wary of the negative influence that you can have on somebody.
Right.
And the hurt that you can put onto somebody because you're, you know, you don't have a walk with God, you're not helping them in the right way,
right.
Or you're pushing people instead of letting them choose for themselves. I mean,
right.
you want someone to walk with God, you want all these blessings to them, but if you push them into it, then they're not really having a walk with God, they're having your walk with God.
Right.
And when you're gone, they don't have it anymore.
Right.
And it's because we're impatient and because we want to control it. Especially with your kids. You want to control
right.
your kids. You don't want to see them go down bad trails. And so you...
Right.
And then they run away and do their own thing. Instead of saying, you know, I trust that God is working in you.
Right.
You know, letting them choose for themselves.
Yeah, very, very important. So when you're in a position of power, whether it's a staff position, things like sexual harassment issues matter. Whether you're in the position of power as a parent mm-hmm. to take away someone's ability to own their own life,
right.
Or a pastor where you're just sort of walking for them. Those are, mm-hmm. like, there's even preaching styles, and we've seen
right.
them before. I want to tell you today how you know,
right.
the relationship
right.
is... It's like, yeah. you don't have your own walk, you walk through me.
Right, right. I'm the authority on this. It's, yeah.
It is. Okay, so wasting time in words. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. One of the fascinating things about the literature of influence is talking about how that there are times when people aren't buying what you're saying and move on to someone who is interested in what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. You're trying to be an influence and you're just kicking a dead horse here. It's just not working. It's,
right.
You could spend your whole life trying to help this one person or triage. You move on to the next one.
Right.
Who wants help?
Right.
Who wants to do something different?
Now, you know, you're good at that. In comparison, I'm better at it now. In fact, I'm. But you should have seen me, you know, 25 years ago. You know, like, you know, I used to work and work and work. And Steve helped me as one of the, you know, you had cross pollinate friends, you
right,
know, and
right.
and that's one of the areas Steve helped me in because I would stay with somebody, and in the process, someone who could be helped, I
right.
can't.
Help. Yeah, so some people will say this. They go. Well, you know, if one person is helped, then all of this was worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll
yeah.
say things like that. But you might have been able to help 10
right.
instead of the one.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, well, of course, helping one person is worth everything. But
right.
you could have helped 10 in that same time period.
Yeah.
And so 9 people got hurt because
right.
you stuck with the one the whole time.
Yeah.
Jesus himself didn't heal everybody.
No.
He preached and people that rejected it, he moved on.
Yeah, that's a stark reality. Being stingy, Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Proverbs 23:7, for he is the kind of man who always is thinking about the cost. Eat, drink, and he says to you, but in his heart he is not with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's fascinating about in the literature on this subject too, this is sort of the opposite of, you know, moving on, and the last time, you know, we just came to the slide, wasting time,
mm-hmm.
you know, but always know that, you know, even that person who you think is a waste maybe you need to be very careful to not waste your time triage. But on the other hand,
right.
You never know.
Right. Don't count anyone out.
Right. If it's in your power to act, be generous in your love and don't pigeonhole them or
right.
profile them as, you right. know, not being reached by the love of Christ.
Right.
And I think in money-wise, I think that, I mean, this one kind of has that money feeling of don't be stingy. And I that's another thing that you read about is people who are always like counting the pennies. You know, there's something about that that feels like you don't want to be around that person.
Well, they're not trusting God, for one thing. They're trusting in their own ability to get their own money. And their fear is themselves, and I'm not going to have enough.
Right.
So again, their focus is on themselves.
Right.
A generous person is thinking of others.
Right. Here's one that we did talk about this previously, about complaining about parents, then you brought up the subject, any complaining.
Yeah.
But this one is constant complaining. And I guess that we don't have to talk too much about it, but here's some great passages. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools gushes folly. Proverbs 21, verse 9. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife.
Yeah.
Wow. I it is true. I have a hard time following someone who's complaining and
right.
a victim
right.
all the time.
Right.
Now, having said that, I know that some of us and some of you truly were victims and you
right.
were abused. And maybe part of your journey
right.
is to process some of that while you're hoping for some relief and encouragement. But here's some of the message that I've learned. I'm curious how you've seen it in your years. I remember this, and I can give several stories in this, but I remember just in my last church, if somebody was hurt in their marriage, the guy cheated, and really, in a lot of ways, it was just terrible. And so the gal was at our church, and every time she came, it really was to talk about how she was hurt and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, so this is now years of being in the ministry, that I've noticed that if you take the role of the constant complainer, at first people are very sympathetic.
Right.
Okay. And they will sign on that you are a project to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say an extra prayer, send a card, all of those things. But I found that spirit of being the victim
right.
eventually has it where nobody even wants to be around them. And that very person who received all that love and support through this hard time will eventually leave that church because she or he himself doesn't want to be profiled in that way.
Right.
But everybody is so used to
right.
doing that even when they sort of change, the change has not occurred.
Right.
It's almost as if they've profiled themselves and then their influence leaves and they don't want to be there and the people
yeah.
in the church. It's a problem.
Yeah. Well, complaining is not doing, right? You're complaining
right.
about something. And, we all do it, and there's a certain, I suppose it makes us feel good. We've been hurt, and then we complain
right.
about something.
Right.
It makes us feel good. And in counseling, sometimes you'll listen to a person, and they're complaining about their life and so on. But coaching, in the end, you always come to, so what do you want to do about it?
Right.
See, now we're onto a positive. Complaining is the negative thing. This
right.
is what happened. This is how bad it was. This is how unfair it was.
Right.
And you can sit on that for quite a while, but none of that gets anything better.
Right.
Nothing improves until
right.
someone says, okay, so now what are we going to do?
Right.
And once that focus, it's now forward, it's now positive, it's now, let's strategize, we're now on the same team,
right.
it's going somewhere. But the other is like, you're going down,
down,
you're just dragging people
well,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And so, complaining is great. When someone's complaining, you listen long enough to finally ask, so what do you want to do about it?
Right.
Now that turns everything around.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity, actually, when people are complaining, to try your coaching skills.
I love it. The last one for today is being too real. Again, it's sort of like we talked earlier about being like over-emotional. Mm-hmm. This could be emotional, couldn't it be not emotional? This is just like so transparent. So Proverbs 12, verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. You know, we're unoffended. Something that...
Your emotions are always on the surface, and you're always, you know, I just got to tell you, Henry.
Yeah.
This is how I'm feeling.
Right.
Every minute, yeah. Everything you say, I'm reacting to, and I'm letting you know all the nuances of my feelings.
Right, right.
To the point where we can't even have a discussion.
And even in preaching, I've seen ministers that, they spent all week preparing a message. In the morning, they wake up and something strikes them. I prepared, but you know what? I have something else that I just want to share what I'm feeling this morning. You know, again, and I know the Holy Spirit works in this way, but be careful with that.
Right.
It can become like sort of like any time, you know, there is in the People Smart class, there is a session about, are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Many of you may have taken that class and you remember that. And what that is a thermostat is one who sets the temperature in a room. A thermometer is the temperature. So if you just are, there are some times when you're not feeling great, but you still are called to exert influence.
Right.
So how do you balance that together?
Right. I don't know.
With that, we'll end today and move on to our next session.